Chapter 7, Wealth Secret Number 5, Recognize Problems as Opportunities. Investing to get wealthy requires a long-term focus. You can learn all the wealth secrets, but you also have to prepare yourself for the fact that world and market events will at times test your resolve. This is when the importance of diversification becomes impossible to ignore and the wealthy look for opportunities to take advantage of problems in the market. There's no better contemporary example of this than the economic uncertainty created by the COVID-19 pandemic and the subsequent volatility in the stock market. As stock prices fell, many investors pulled money from places they thought were too risky and looked for safer bets. The impact and response were similar to the reaction folks had during the 2008 recession, but not nearly as bad as when the stock market crashed on October 19, 1987, a day that came to be known as Black Monday. I had just started as a receptionist at Merrill Lynch, and I saw panic in the eyes of white-collar and blue-collar workers from the auto industry. Prior to that day, I would greet them as they came into the lobby during their lunch breaks to watch our electronic stock sticker, or I would take phone calls asking for the latest quote on General Motors, Ford, or Chrysler. Many clients of the firm had put all their savings in their employer's stock and had limited knowledge of investing and how to build a portfolio. Although we often think of risk in terms of being overly aggressive or careless, behaviors we've most recently seen with cryptocurrencies and related fraud, we also take unnecessary risks when we're overly cautious. Just ask all the people who took their money out of stocks after the 2008 stock market crash and wound up missing the next bull market. Because they let fear dictate their actions, their losses compounded. With Wealth Secret Number 5, Recognize Problems as Opportunities, you'll position yourself to weather the ups and downs of the financial markets without panicking. You'll do this through diversification and by leveraging stock market volatility like the wealthy do. Per story, playing the long game. Sophonia Hardaway first learned about diversification at a young age by observing her parents and grandparents who earned income from a variety of sources. Her father worked as a barber and a steel worker, and her grandfather worked a manufacturing job with a side hustle as a grave digger. "I always saw multiple things going on in the family," Sophonia said. And then they slowly went into real estate and they started buying houses. As she grew up, Sophonia took on the belief that she could also create multiple sources of income. She often had roommates and she thought of the rent they paid her as. Extra money. She might not have realized it at the time, but Sophonia was laying the foundation for her future wealth. Having multiple income sources provides a safety net in case one source disappears because of a job loss, a disaster, or a dip in one of the markets. There's a difference between minimizing risk and playing it too safe. A savings account is low risk, but the interest rate will never keep up with the rate of inflation, so the reward is too low for it to be a wealth-building vehicle. The stock market, on the other hand, offers a greater opportunity to make money, but the risk of losing money is also greater. No one wants to see their net worth headed in the wrong direction. However, the wealthy know downturns in the stock market can also provide opportunities to purchase assets at lower prices. I observed this on Black Monday, when the stock market fell by more than 20% in one day. Our wealthy clients came in later in the evening and met with their stockbrokers. And instead of selling, they added stocks from several blue chip companies to their portfolios. That was when I discovered Wealth Secret Hash 5, Recognize Problems as Opportunities. Or, as the prolific investor Warren Buffett advises, be greedy when others are fearful. To reduce risk as an investor, continue to learn about the financial markets and invest in a variety of investment products. Take action to make good decisions and to protect your money, but keep one thing in mind. As you've probably figured out by now, The truth is, there is no risk-free investment. There's risk everywhere, whether you're parking money in a savings account or investing in stocks. The higher the potential risk, however, the higher the potential reward. That's why wealthy women take their time when choosing investments, and it's why diversification plays a major role in growing and protecting your wealth. Diversification can lower your level of risk and increase your profits at the same time. Spreading your investments across a range of sectors reduces volatility in your portfolio. This way, if any particular category takes a sudden downturn, your other investments remain unscathed. When you consistently evaluate where you focused your investments and tweak accordingly, diversification protects your bottom line. While figuring all this out can seem intimidating, remember that the greatest risk is to take no risk at all. Being overly cautious stops you from finding opportunities in times of trouble and stunts your ability to get wealthy. The new financial normal requires you to embrace risk, change, and discomfort. Build your investing confidence. Sophonia's parents wanted her to have opportunities they didn't, so they encouraged her to pursue higher education. Her father paid for her undergraduate education with cash, from which Sophonia learned that it's not how much money you make, but what you do with it that determines your success. She decided she wanted to leave a legacy for her child too. Building on what her parents had taught her, she believed she could even do a little better than her parents had done because she earned more in her job as a systems engineer. As is the case for almost everyone, Sophonia's formal education hadn't taught her much about money or building wealth. However, her schooling did teach her critical thinking skills, and it opened up opportunities for higher paying jobs and an income she could leverage. It wasn't any school, but rather her parents and grandparents who had planted the seeds of how she would develop wealth. Sophonia always knew she wanted to diversify. It simply made sense to her based on what she'd seen her parents do, and she took a slow walk, patient approach. For instance, she didn't rush into buying real estate as an investment, but when she moved into a larger house, she kept her townhouse and rented it out as an investment property. She bought insurance products to cover different scenarios and make sure she could take care of herself, no matter what happened. She also consistently contributed to her retirement accounts. Keep evolving. Decades later, Sophonia started thinking about retiring early and was happy to discover the cash value of her insurance had added up. She used that money to buy into a franchise and left her retirement money to grow. Then, as a self-employed person, Sophonia sought out tax advantages available to business owners, and she reinvested her profits. Despite her successes and thoughtful approach, Sophonia believed she should be even further along. She had always relied on financial advisors to make her investment decisions, but she'd come to realize the options they chose for her were a little too vanilla and too all-purpose. She was also bothered by the fact that most of the advisors she'd worked with couldn't adequately explain how any of their decisions affected her money. She searched for more information, and she eventually discovered WealthyU, a place where she could learn about investing so she could make more informed decisions. Putting all of your assets and all of your money that you work hard for into someone else's hands, it's not a good thing, Sophonia said. We shouldn't do that. We should have some say in where we want our money to go, and we should have some say in how we want to invest it. I may not get it right all the time, but as long as I get within a percentage of what I'm looking for that year, I'm okay with that. In WealthyU, Sophonia learned to research investments more deeply and to ask more questions. She also learned when to pivot and update her choices. When we talked not long after the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, Sophonia was going through all her assets and checking how diversified they were. This was part of her process of analyzing whether she was where she wanted to be and reaching the annual goals she had set. Because the market is going up and down, I'm pretty safe, she said. I think I did like 30% overall. Like most people, Sophonia can sometimes get overwhelmed by Al, the information available. So she tries to take things at her own pace and continues her mantra of the slow walk. As she's gained confidence in her abilities, she's not only felt better about her finances, but she has also found her advisor respects her more and checks in with her more often. Where she might have gotten single-digit returns before, now she can get more of the stock index averages of double digits. Yeah, it's a little bit, but it does add up over time with the compounding of the assets, she said. So just the confidence itself, just knowing where you are financially, has been awesome for me. Sophonia adopted all the wealthy secrets outlined here and taught in Wealthy You. This included increasing her financial acumen so she could have better conversations with her financial advisor, more accurately assess her situation, and hold her financial advisor accountable. Her financial education allowed her to accelerate her financial growth. Then Sophonia was able to optimize and finally maximize her income by analyzing her investments for herself and in her business. She went back to her early role models of diversification and put those principles to work for her by developing a balanced portfolio and making changes to that balance when it made sense to do so. Balance risk and reward. Prudent redistribution, as opposed to knee-jerk reactions, is a smart way to maximize your profits. This means you can't just set it and forget it when it comes to your investments. While you don't want to make reactive decisions based on short-term changes in the markets, you do want to stay aware of those changes. Just as importantly, you'll factor in any changes in your goals, timelines, and risk tolerance, and adjust your portfolio as needed. One straightforward way to balance risk and reward is to consider your mix of stocks and bonds. Stocks are generally more subject to ups and downs, and bonds are typically in a more steady state. Stocks also typically provide a bigger return and higher profits, while bonds, with a set interest rate and maturity date, grow more slowly and consistently. Your portfolio should include the right mix of both, with a ratio tailored to your situation. This is referred to as asset allocation and should also include the amount of money you keep in cash or in a savings or money market account for short-term goals or emergencies. In Wealthy You, my wealth coaching clients use my asset allocator to assess several factors and decide on their investment mix based on their goals, knowledge of the market, age, risk tolerance, time frame for investing. We also talk about the average rate of return for various combinations and what their best 12 months and worst 12 months might look like, as well as their best and worst 5 years. This kind of analysis helps with long-range planning and thinking, so you're less likely to be enticed or scared into making rash decisions based on what the market is doing for any short period of time. To download a copy of the Asset Allocator, visit www.wealthyyou.com. While no one can tell you exactly what your investment mix should be, there are 4 rules of thumb you can use to make those decisions. 1. If you're more than 10 years away from your goal, bonds should make up less than 10% of your portfolio. You've got time to ride out ups and downs in the market, and you're looking at growth and the highest returns possible. 2. If you're 6 to 9 years from your goal, allocate about 30% of your portfolio to bonds. This offers a balance of growth and stability. 3. If you're 3 to 6 years from your goal, consider investing more than 50% of your investment in bonds. In this way, when you need to access your money, you know your principal will be available. This is a good option for people who are saving for a down payment on a house, for example. 4. If you're retiring soon, you probably want more of your investments in defensive assets that create income, like stocks that pay dividends and bonds that pay interest, so you can generate an income stream. Dividend stocks and bonds provide consistency. They are what wealthy people use as a defensive strategy during uncertain economic times and to take advantage of stock market volatility. Using defensive investment strategies, conservative portfolio strategies designed to minimize the risk of losing the principal can help you develop a wealthy focus. The slow and steady nature of these strategies gives you the peace of mind to handle the bigger fluctuations of the stock market. When you have a wealthy focus, you resist the temptation to follow the crowd, and you learn how to turn problems into opportunities. A wealthy focus helps you set priorities and eliminate distractions as you pursue your goals. When diversifying, keep your personal tolerance for risk in mind. Are you seeking the potential for the greatest return and willing to take more risk? Or would you prefer a lower degree of risk or some combination of the two? Imagine what things would look like if the stock market dropped 20% and your investments dropped along with it. What would you do? Wealthy people see market downturns as an opportunity to buy more stock. At the other end of the spectrum, the average investor liquidates and transfers their investments into a money market account or some other low-risk, low-return vehicle. Other options include leaving your investments alone or selling some and leaving the rest where it is. Another strategy is dollar cost averaging, where you invest systematically each month and buy shares at different prices. In this way, your average cost per share is typically reduced. Where you fall on this spectrum can help you understand your risk tolerance. As you look to diversify your portfolio, keep your personal interests in mind. Invest in companies and products you understand or can learn about. Consider the tech boom at the turn of the millennium. When so many people got caught up in tech stocks and bought into the craze, even though they had no idea what they were purchasing, they lost a lot of money when that bubble burst. It's okay to take a chance on a hot investment, but diversification means you avoid putting all your money in one sector. You'll be taking an educated risk, not an emotional one. Your personal life and your work life provide a range of ideas for investing. If you're a pharmacist, for example, you might look at pharmaceutical companies, but don't stop there. Expand your research to include related industries like medical technology or supplies, research companies, and more. Think about the car you drive, the clothes you wear, your hobbies, and your interests. You might want to factor into your investment research environmental or social justice issues that are important to you. Companies that work to create the change you desire to see in the world may be worth your consideration when you're deciding where to invest your money. Read about the companies behind the products you use and like, and if they're public, research how their stocks have performed before investing. More ways to diversify. Your asset allocation goes beyond the ratio of stocks to bonds in your portfolio to include the types of stocks, bonds, funds, and their sectors, and more. You diversify by investing money in a variety of vehicles, industries, and even nations. Putting some money into savings accounts for short-term goals and emergencies, and retirement accounts is included in this process. Let's say you've decided on a mix of stocks and bonds. Starting with stocks, what will they include? You can begin by identifying the sectors you're interested in and spread your risk among them. In addition to individual stocks, you can research mutual funds that concentrate on specific market sectors. Mutual funds are where a group of investors pool their money to purchase a portfolio of investments run by a fund manager, and you share in the profits or losses of the fund as a whole. As you look at your mix, you'll also consider small cap, medium cap, and large cap funds, defined by the total number of shares multiplied by the share price. As you diversify, you'll consider a mix of small, medium, and large cap companies within your chosen sectors. Large cap companies include Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft. Many mid cap companies operate in specialized industries, so are less likely to be household names, although you'll know names such as Dunkin, Skechers, and Texas Roadhouse. Finally, small caps are often young companies whose potential for growth is larger, but whose risk is higher. As you evaluate your choices, make sure you don't fall so in love with any one company or fund that you stake too much of your investment in it. Consider what would have happened if you'd had all or most of your investments in real estate in 2007, or everything tied up in the tech sector in 1999. Most advisors will recommend that a portfolio should not include more than 10% of any investment, including your employer's stock. You might be tempted to load up on your company's stock, but resist that temptation. If your company runs into financial trouble, you could lose your job and your investments in one fell swoop. This work is important because, as I've noted, with proper asset allocation, based on your unique circumstances, you'll find it much easier to manage the ups and downs of the financial markets. No matter how hard you study and how much you learn, some losses are inevitable. Sometimes stocks or bonds simply don't perform the way your research led you to expect they would, or world events beyond your control affect the market in ways you couldn't possibly have predicted. Learn to absorb some loss and take the lessons. If you did your due diligence and things didn't work out in your favor, keep your cool and shrug it off. Wealthy women know that some loss is going to happen, and they take precautions to make sure those losses don't derail their entire plan. The market fluctuates, but its success over time supports investing. Balancing risk and reward with smart asset allocation will make it easier for you to stay the course through all the market shakeups. Looking for opportunities where others see problems will allow you to increase your chances of coming out ahead. With Wealth Secret #6, in the next chapter, you'll learn how to leverage technology and put systems in place to research investments, get started investing, reduce the fees you pay, further minimize your risks, and automate where it makes sense to do so.